Welcome to the walkthrough.
What the hell is going on, South Harmon? Welcome to the week six edition of the walkthrough. I'm at a key womb. Ladies and gentlemen, the boys are back in town. Cody Carpenter is back, baby. After his California vacation, he is back and we are ready to rip through the week six slate. Cody, how is it going? I missed you.
Dude, going tab fabulous. That's how we're going right now. Good week in California, out in your old stomping grounds. Back home right now in South Carolina, and the storm is pounding Tampa right now, pounding Florida, and it sounds like we're going to get a little wind, but I think when you come down with that flight from the northeast, it's going to deflect, and my conspiracy theory tells me that it's going to push the wind south, and we're not going to get anything this week, so I'm in a good mood.
Oh, man, I have been, we'll call it horned up for the weather that I've been seeing on the radar for Charleston. It looks like this weekend is going to be gorgeous, bonito, muy bien, very, very good. So I'm excited to head down there and hang out with you guys.
Are you going to surf? Are you bringing your board shorts to come surf?
Yeah, right. Like, who taught that walrus how to stand up on a surfboard? but it's going to be fun. We're very, very excited. Like, we're recording this now Thursday morning as per usual. I'm on vacay. You know, the day job ain't looking for me. This is the last bit of goings on that I have to check off before we get airborne later on today. So why don't we just do it? Let's do the damn thing. Let's get into the week six slate. Let's start across the pond in London, baby. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will host its second NFL game of the season. The Jacksonville Jaguars are technically on the road with the Chicago Bears. I mean, let's call it spade a spade. It is the Jacksonville / London Jaguars, but they are actually on the road in their home stadium of Tottenham Stadium to take on the Bears. Bears are 2-point favorites in London. Over under of 44.5 is creeping up to that 45 number that'll start getting me excited. But this is a big game for the Jaguars. They could be facing 1-5, and it's a game that the Bears need to win if they want to be for real in 2024. So, Cody, what are you thinking about this game, and what are some of the players that really excite you going into it?
Well, I think first and foremost, when you do look at this game straight up, like you said, it kind of is in favor of the Bears as far as the betting. Like, I see betting, I see line, like Sports Illustrated has a line that's 1.5 dogs for the Bears. So, the dogs are 1.5 dogs. Bears are 1.5 dogs, and then I also see on Caesars Jacksonville is 2-point dogs. So this thing, I don't know, according to this tool, it's kind of all over right now. 86% of the bets on the Bears, 62% of the money on the Bears. The Jacksonville Jaguars in London, they're 6-5 in their career in their all-time playing in London, but they're 2-0 in the stadium. 2-0 in this stadium. Jacksonville coming off of their best game of the season. Let's call a spade a spade. Literally their best game of the season after playing against Houston 2 weeks ago, Indianapolis. They lost to Houston by 4. They beat Indianapolis. Joe Flacco almost pulls off a miraculous, sicko game, connecting with Alec Pierce here. But Brian Thomas has officially kind of dabbed himself as the alpha, the number one in this offense. You know, this is a team that just 2 weeks ago got shit stomped by the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. They go back home against the Colts. They get the win. Now they're going overseas. For 2 games. They have New England next week overseas as well. So this is an interesting, I don't know when Jacksonville got over there. This is an interesting setting that they're in, I guess, right now, I would say, for Jacksonville. This team I'm not quite sold on it. I'm not quite sold on this team doing anything. Pre-show, we talked about potential trade candidates. I could see one over the next 2 weeks, if this trip to London doesn't go right against the Bears and Patriots, which it should hypothetically be the get right situation for Jacksonville. They come camaraderie, they get together, they get this win against the Bears. They're sitting over there in London for a long week. The Patriots go over there and they shit stomp the Patriots. They go back home. They get the Packers for a true home game in Duval. It should be the thing that gets Jacksonville going. But if it doesn't, we're looking at potentially Christian Kirk's last few games, I would say, in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. I mean, that's a guy that where he's sitting. Remember, he got the big contract a couple years ago in free agency. Yep. They go out and get Brian Thomas. They go out and get Gabe Davis. They like Brenton Strange and Evan Engram. Kirk feels like an odd guy out in this whole situation if this season starts to go sour. As far as the game goes and week, golly, what are we in week six now? I can't even remember the damn weeks now as they're kind of taking
it crazy. Weeks.
And I'm also kind of doing this college and NFL thing where college is in week seven and NFL is in week six, which I absolutely, be honest with you, Matty, hate.
It's so confusing. There's no need. I guarantee they clean that up though soon. As they become more and more synonymous with one another, they're going to clean it up.
Well, there's a week zero in college, and it's like,
right.
So it could hypothetically be week eight. It's just dumb. It doesn't matter. It's dumb. But anyway, as far as this game goes for Caleb Williams, this is the number one matchup for quarterbacks in fantasy football. I like Caleb this week as a top eight play. I have him eighth overall right now, and I'm considering giving him even a little bit of a better bump here. He's averaging about 13.5 fantasy points per game. He's gotten better every single game as the season has gone on. 22 yards rushing per game this season. As far as Trevor Lawrence goes, this is a bottom five matchup for quarterbacks. You couldn't pay me to play Trevor Lawrence in most formats, unless we're talking about a super flex league where, I'm in that spot. But even then, hopefully I have a third quarterback that I would rather, plug in, like a guy like Baker or a Bo Nix or shit, man, even a Spencer Rattler this week ahead of our guy, Trevor Lawrence. Now, the one guy that I will say I'm a tad bullish on this week, and I think I'm just going to continue to go to this well until something happens. Either he's going to go on IR or he's going to hit, and that's Travis Etienne. I want to know where you have Travis Etienne, because I have him this week, running back 10. It's the number 12th overall matchup for running backs. Tank Bigsby is maniacal. He's a great runner. But even when he scored this last week, he fumbled in the end zone, but it was a touchdown. And then he, as soon as he was touched, fumble. He's maniacal. I love him. I always loved his play style. But Travis Etienne is going to have a game here. It's coming. I trust it. He's at average 11.6 fantasy points per game. He's at 13.5 touches per game. They need to get him more touches. I will say, among all the players that I have ranked in my top 20 right now for this week, he, Chase Brown, and Rashad White are the guys that are averaging less than 15 touches per game. Chase Brown's averaging 10. Rashad and Etienne are averaging 13 touches per game. It's three guys. I guess you'd say I'm a little higher on this week relative to the general public. But again, like I said, Etienne, I'm probably going to die on the sword. I know he's got a shoulder injury, but I'm probably going to die on that sword.
Yeah, I agree with the optimism from the running backs of this team. But how I have it ranked is Etienne at 20 and Tank Bigsby at 28. And what is important to kind of take out of that is and that's a workload split, right? You talked about who's getting the least amount of. And it's funny you bring up those four names or those three names. I have Etienne at 20, Brown at 21, Rashad White at 24. So the touches for me has been concerning, but I'm not quitting them. I still have them as top 24 backs. If you could guarantee me what I would have assumed Travis Etienne was going to get in this game, he'd be a top 10 play. It's really just a sliding scale, and then Bigsby would slide down. But I just, with the usage, with the injury, I just have to rank them close together. But I do agree the matchup is there. And one note I do want to bring up regarding Brian Thomas Jr. I'm with you, I would play Drake May this week over Trevor Lawrence in hopes that Drake May can run a little bit and play a little garbage time. But Trevor Lawrence, so far this season, has thrown the ball downfield, so that is – that counts on NFL as 10-plus air yards. Almost 39% of his attempts this season has gone downfield. That's fourth highest. And we've seen the benefits that can bring to a guy like Brian Thomas, who's having a great rookie season, has cemented himself as the wide receiver 3 in the class so far. I still believe in Rome, but as of right now, it's tough to pass up on Brian Thomas Jr. over Rome in seasonal leagues. And if you look at the Warp Tool, Brian Thomas is now a top 15 player overall in Warp. And that is because they are throwing the ball downfield. So I still like me some Brian Thomas this week, have him as a top 20 play. As far as the other guys, I really don't have much to add. I agree with the rankings and in the sentiments on kind of how the game would go. I thought I was high on Caleb Williams at 11. So here you have him at 8, kind of that kind of confirms it. It gets me happy. Let's move on to the next game, and it is the game on the slate. We talked about it on the hurdle, the Red River Rivalry, and the battle of Baltimore. All takes place in the weekend that we get to watch these games together, which is awesome. So the 4-1 Washington Commanders are heading just a half hour away to take on the Baltimore Ravens in the 3-2-3 seed in the AFC. As of right now, I haven't been able to find a good line. I'm curious if you found any of that interesting. I've seen a lot of kind of even coin flips, maybe Baltimore getting 2 or 3 as the home team. But the over-under of 49.5, like that, it's come down a little bit, but the fact that it's right around 50 is exactly where I want it to be. What are your thoughts? Are we going to see a battle of two MVP candidates this weekend?
First off, I just because I'm not to correct you, but I just don't want, I know there's going to be some of our OGs in the chat yelling at their podcast because you said Battle of Baltimore. It's the Battle of the Beltway. I just don't want you to get yelled at. That's all. I don't care, but because I'm not from Baltimore, I'm not from the Beltway.
Appreciate you. I
lived in Virginia for 4 years, but I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I just want to put that on. But technically, Washington is in Virginia for whatever reason. Anyways, the number I see, Maddie, is 6.5. And I haven't seen the circa numbers come out officially for the contest this week. I've actually been waiting because this is one where it's like when you look at Jaden Daniels and what this team has been this year, there's a reason we have them as a bona fide top six, seventeen this week is because Jaden Daniels is a wagon by himself. There's guys where, you know, in betting trends, right? And you'll find this out and every single year it comes to fruition. But this guy, Jaden Daniels, is a wagon by himself. He is carrying this entire team. He's the lifter, the rising tide, the tide that raises all boats. However the hell that I butchered every single time, doesn't matter. That's what he is. He brings this team to what it is. So like I said, 6.5, if we can get, there's no way in hell we're going to get this thing at 7. But I like 6.5. Every day of the week, 6 times on Sunday, 17 times on Tuesday, for the Washington Commanders, plus 6.5 here. You're getting over at FanDuel and at DraftKings, it looks like. 57% of the bets on Washington, 52% of the money is on the Baltimore Ravens in this one. As far as like the players that are playing in this one, 1-2. They both have top 10 matchups for the quarterbacks. They're both averaging, Jaden Daniels averaging 60 rushing yards per game. Lamar's averaging 72 rushing yards per game. We don't really need to talk about these guys. I have them 1-2. Lamar 1, Jaden 2. At the running back position in this game, I got Derrick Henry 1. The Washington side, I'm, you know, still holding out on Brian Robinson. Not sure what the health is going to look like this week again. Looked good last week. You know, he's averaging, where am I at here? He's averaging, sorry. You guys know how this is. Literally every time we pop in the show, I share a ranking sheet with Alex, and the sheet just goes like this as we're talking every single
Tell
time.
Tell him stay off the ranking sheet from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays.
It's like clockwork, dude. I put my rankings on in the morning, and all of a sudden he comes in here at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and it's just like, golly, I'm trying to eye track. And 15.5 fantasy points per game for Brian Robinson. The bottom three matchup for the running backs for Brian Robinson and for Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler and all these guys. But like I said, still got Derrick Henry. Going to keep him at the top of the feast here. As far as wide receivers go, I like me some Terry McLaurin. I like me some Zay Flowers. I'm not overly bullish on Zay Flowers. Have him sitting at a constant wide receiver 10. Maybe that's bullish. I don't know. They're both top five matchups. So I think they are what they are. I think we continue to see that target share go to Zay Flowers. They learned. It's been interesting to watch the trajectory of this team, right? The first 2 weeks, it's like Zay and Isaiah Likely, no Derrick Henry. And then it's Derrick Henry, no Zay. And now it's Zay and Derrick Henry getting work. Yeah. If they can continue this thing and continue to average 35 points per game as a team, there's no reason that both of these guys, including, you know, the likes of Likely and Andrews and even Bateman to a certain extent and Lamar, can't all pay off. Tight ends in this game, I got Andrews, Likely, and Ertz all as top 16 plays. So I think this is if you got them, if somebody's attached to this game, even if you're in deep league, you're starting 5 wide receivers. I got a couple, you know, patron leagues that we start 5 wide receivers in. You got Diami, shoot him. You got Rashad Bateman, shoot him. Just do it. Just do it in this game. Because you, if you're ever attached to a touchdown, you're ever attached to six targets, you're going to like it. You're going to appreciate it. And I do think this game has, similar to that Cincinnati game last week, 38-35 vibes ripped all over. No, actually, 41-38 vibes written all over it. Again, you're talking about a Bengals team, or sorry, a Ravens team that scored 41, 35, 28 the last few weeks. You're talking about a Washington team that's averaging 38 points per game right now. This is, you know, Firework City. And shout out to our guy Fizz, Fizzle Dallas, who told me on our show, the cookup on Tuesday, said he's going to try and go to this game. So it'll be a fun one.
Fire it up. When you look at every advantage, offense to defense, regardless of team, it always favors the offense. And there aren't many times where you can count on the psyche of a rookie, but it feels as if, it feels like Jaden Daniels is him. It feels like he's not going to be out, you know, taken away by this moment. He's going to be able to capitalize against a defense that shouldn't be able to stop him on paper. This looks like shootout appeal. This looks like the, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. This is a bit of a derailing, so let's not get too deep into it. Baltimore to me feels like Alabama in college, where their defense historically has been so good, but this year it's really not. And it's overvalued, and they're just going to be in a ton of shootouts.
I like that.
I just, you know, Alabama's, for better or worse, for the outcomes of the games, either team, it just feels like that's a similar cop. But yeah, I'm with you on 1-2 at the QB position. I got Daniels and Jackson 1-2. The one name that needs to be brought up in this conversation, because we've kind of tapped them all in, you're going to play them all, is if you have Austin Ekeler, play him, 100% play him, because the defense of the Ravens is still pretty good at neutralizing the traditional run, but Eckler's looked spry. Eckler has looked way better than I was giving him credit for back in the summer. He's looked good. He's looked dynamic, and if it wasn't for Brian Robinson just being so good himself, I think Austin Ekeler would be a weekly top 12 play. I think if that was the case, he's looked that good, and if there are going to be points being scored, we can expect Ekeler to be a part of that. We saw a 50-yard run last week. He's getting the ball at these screens. He's taking them, you know, first downs, 20 yards, 30 yards. He's been electric. So I love this game. Fire it up. We're not really going to talk too much more about it, because for a fantasy outcome, you know, you're just happy to see them in this game. Let's move on to another potential shootout in the 1 o'clock slate. 2-3 Arizona Cardinals travel to Lambeau to take on the 3-2 Green Bay Packers. After a big win against the Niners, the Cardinals are still 5-point underdogs on the road. Over under of 47.5 is one of the highest on the slate, so we're expecting some fantasy points. We saw a great game from the Cardinals last week against the Niners, but Marvin Harrison Jr. was a basic no-show. He's not as exciting as we thought he'd be this far in, Cody, but what are your thoughts on Marvin Harrison Jr. and the rest of the Cardinals offense this week?
Marv was one that I go to plug in my rankings for these receivers, and I'm going, all right, tick, 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 you know, Chase, Neighbors, Lamb, St. Brown, and I go, Marv should be here. From a DFS cost perspective, Marv should be right here, but Marv's averaging 13.8 fantasy points per game. His expected fantasy points from PFF is 11.5. It's not 18 like Neighbors. It's not 14 like St. Brown. It's not 14 like Higgins or AJ Brown. It's 11.5. His targets are 7, not 9.5, 13, 8.5, 9 per game. The only other comparable guys in that top 15 that have less than 8 targets is him, Chris Olave, and Jaden Reed for me. Jamar Chase, of course, 7.2, but I mean, we know what Jamar Chase is. Jamar Chase is dynamic on his own. You put the ball in his hands and he can go 80. We've seen that. Week in the end. That's not something Marv can do quite the same as Jamar. So yeah. I'm here, like I said, I'm a plug, and I go, well, Marv should, but he's not. I bumped him all the way down to wide receiver 14. He's got top 10 this week.
You're high on him.
What do you have him?
23.
Okay, see, that's probably proper. That's probably more right than anything. I'm worried.
Jair could shut him down.
Well, Jair's been hurt, though.
Right, but he's back. He came back last week, played well. How can you know he played well last week? I thought he came back last week.
I thought I saw him on the sideline. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe he left early.
Doesn't matter. If Jair plays, yes, that's a big matchup. It's a big game against Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think what I'm more worried about is just this team, right? We've seen almost every vibe of this team. You know, high scoring loss against the Bills, a dog walking of the Rams, they win at home. Dog walking loss at home against Washington. They play a grinder of a game in San Francisco, one of the toughest places to just go play a road game.
Yep.
They win by a point. They lose a tough one at home against the Lions, and now they have to go to Lambeau, and they're sitting at 2-3. This team feels to me, you know, especially if you're talking in betting circles, it's like you have to see what they look like in the first quarter before you can even do anything. Like if you're going to live bet on Sunday, this is going to be a team you're going to live bet. You're going to see how that first couple drives go, and if Kyler's Kyler, and if this team play calling the way it is, and if it's schematically making sense, and they're matching up with Green Bay, you can bet on them. For or against, I think that's probably a good idea to pay attention to. As far as Green Bay goes, I think Love is just—he just need to get his legs back under him. He threw the three picks against Minnesota last week against the Rams. I thought he had a fine game. Like he could definitely work. He's not back to the love he was, and I think this is the game where he gets back to the love he was against these Arizona Cardinals at home. They established the run. Josh Jacobs is going to continue to be Josh Jacobs. So I guess that's a long-winded answer for the Marvin Harrison part of things, but I do think the way this game unfolds in totality favors the Green Bay Packers. I have Love, quarterback 4, Murray, quarterback 5, running backs, Josh Jacobs, top 5 guy. He's got a top 8 matchup as far as the running back tool is perspective. Is perspective. That's not a word. Not a word there. That's not a word. But I do have one, Maddie, that I think you might like. I'd love to hear where you have him. Of course, Jaden Reed. Wide receiver.
8-6. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, he's there now. I mean, he's there. Jaden Reed will be a top 10 ranking for me probably most weeks.
We just need more targets. We just need more touches.
What happened? Yeah, we that's exactly right. Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love need to just there's a hurdle. There's a levy in like these receivers and how they get targeted. And we've seen it throughout a number of players when they ascend to that level where eventually the quarterback and coach just goes, fuck it. Fuck it. And we've seen that time and time again where why isn't he getting targeted? He's been so good. And then all of a sudden, 14, 12, 11, averaging 8.5. It's like, all right, finally. They just say, fuck it. That's got to happen soon with Jaden Reed because he's that talented. And that throw and catch against 3 Rams defenders last week was so good. So unbelievably good.
He's also getting 1 or 2 carries a game. He's literally, we talked about this, he's literally Debo. Like every week this year, he's gotten 1 or 2. It's a 1-2, 1-2-2-1 every single week. And he only scored the 1 rushing touchdown, the 33-yarder in week 1. Remember last year how efficient he was running that football? It can get better from where it is right now. And from where it is right now, he's averaging 18 fantasy points per game, which is, you know, this is Debo. This is Debo.com. And I don't think people have quite adjusted completely to being like, yeah, he's Debo. Like, but that's what he is. He's the number one option on this offense. He's Debo.
He's younger Debo in Stephon Diggs' body. It's awesome. And when you look at his warp this year, he's been as valuable as Justin Jefferson, Malik Neighbors, Saquon Barkley. Like he's the 7th highest in warp so far this year in 1 QB seasonal formats. It's fantastic what he's up to. One thing I will bring up, because again, this is another fire him up type of game. You mentioned Jordan Love and him getting healthy. This could be a big game for him, and I agree. Jordan Love has averaged a league-high 10.2 yards per attempt when facing 4 or fewer rushers this season. Now, the Cardinals' defense is generating pressure on just 25% of dropbacks. That's the 2nd lowest, meaning Jordan Love is going to have time to dial it up. This is a big game for Jordan Reed. That Jaden Reed, and this is also a don't forget about me game for Romeo Doubs. I am at wide receiver 41, but you could convince me he should be as high as 33 based on my tiering and ranking. So where do you have Doubs this week?
I bumped him down after hesitation. I have him 41 with Wicks 42. I have these guys back to back.
Yeah, so we're lockstep on Doubs. I tanked Wicks. You just can't have that bad of hands, I'm sorry, and be like, you can get you could be Alexander Mattison when Dalvin Cook's out. You know what I'm saying? But you can't be Dalvin Cook. That's how I feel about Wicks now. Maybe he proves me wrong this week, but I sank him in my ranks quite a bit from where I had him last. I mean, I had him as a top 20 play last week, and he completely shat the bed.
I think a lot.
I dropped him to 55.
I think a lot of people were very, very high on that helium.
That was bad. Very, very bad. Now let's talk about very bad to hopefully not so bad any longer. The 1-4 New England Patriots and new starting quarterback Drake May host the 4-1 Houston Texans, led, of course, by C.J. Stroud. Patriots are nearly a touchdown underdogs in Foxborough. The over-under of 41.5, I will say, is not good, but encouraging. It started at 37, and with the news of May, it shot up that much. So potential offense here. Let's start here, though, Cody. How do you value Drake May this week? What do you expect from Drake May in this offense? And then parlay that into what this game may look like from a fantasy point of view.
Well, this one, I think the number is too small. I do. Like, generally, I feel like this is a game. We haven't really had one this year. Not that I can think of off the top of my mind that was a home 10-point dog. Right? That's usually in betting circles. You're like, 10-point dog at home? We got to take that. We haven't got one yet. And this feels like a spot where it should be 11.5, a 12 for the Houston Texans going into Gillette. 80% of the bets and 89% of the money. As far as Drake May goes, I want to get up on him. I know you brought up Trevor Lawrence earlier when we were talking about him. I want to get Drake May up there, but I just can't quite put him ahead of Lawrence and Justin Herbert and Rodgers. I got him at QB 24. I think there's a little bit of rushing upside that he poses. I'd love to see a number pop up on Prize Picks Underdog for Drake May as far as the rushing goes. But I'm a little worried about this Houston situation. You look at some of the most recent games and go back to last year against rookies. Houston beat the Bills. Josh Allen threw for 30% last week. In week two, they went against Caleb Williams, the rookie. Obviously not a lot of tape. You literally have one game and that was about it. Caleb Williams, 62%, 134 yards, two picks. He was sacked 7 times in that game. Last season, Houston played Bryce Young and Will Levis. You remember Bryce Young got that win 15-13. Will Levis threw for, I think, 199 yards, had a pick. That was like a 19-16 Texans win in overtime. Those were tight games. I think this team's different than it was last year where they were a little vulnerable to these rookies. This year, they've kind of, I don't want to say suppressed everybody, but they're good. They're really good on the back end. And I'm not sure that we can just expect, I've heard quite a bit nationally, like, oh, you know, this New England team, they're tired because Jacoby Brissett really hasn't been able to lift everything. It's like, well, he wasn't supposed to lift anything. He was supposed to keep the boat afloat. And the defense has been good for New England, and they've been in games outside of, you know, the Jets blowout loss and the Niners blowout loss. They've been a 3-point loss to the Seahawks, a 5-point loss to the Dolphins. They beat the Bengals. Like, they were in games they probably should be in. But like I said, as far as Houston goes, I just think that this defense suppresses Drake May, and this is not the week that I want to be the one sitting there holding that bag. Maybe next week against Jacksonville, like, I feel better about that. But I mean, I'm just, as a Drake May enthusiast, as you know, we've talked about Drake May a ton. I'm probably not touching that thing with a 10-foot pole this week. And as far as dynasty stock goes, you're probably going to get a dip here before it gets better from a Drake May perspective. As far as everything else in this game, I would be interested. I'm going to make an adjustment here live on air because I didn't adjust this pre-show and I had differing thoughts. I went on a run about an hour and a half ago before the show. And I hadn't adjusted my ranks after I got back, but on my run, I was having thoughts about this receiver room in Houston, and I put Diggs as a top 10 play this week prior. After the run, and I initially was like, well, I should have Diggs about 8, and I should probably have Tank about 12, 13. I want to have both these guys up here. But I think I'm going to end up having Tank as the 8, and Diggs probably at like 15, 16. Is that how do you kind of decipher this wide receiver room for Houston?
I have Stephon Diggs as the wide receiver 3 this week.
The wait, what?
I have my wide receiver 3 this week.
Overall. Okay.
Overall.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait.
Why did you return on that team? I was like, no.
Okay. No. I still like Tank Dell. I'm willing to go back to the Tank Dell well that makes sense. At wide receiver 24. Diggs has already gained more trust than I thought he would at this point in terms of the coaching staff and CJ Stroud. The fact that he has only three touchdowns, but yet one's rushing, where it was an impromptu. He's gotten the 10-target game. He's just done so much. He's running a ton out of the slot, so I don't have to worry about Christian Gonzalez, even though Stephon Diggs has beaten the living dog shit out of the Patriots a number of times when he was a Buffalo Bill. So I think it's a big game for Stephon Diggs. I think he's able to kind of do what he wants. This is going to be ugly for Drake May. I do have Drake May at QB 20 because guys of this magnitude, of this skill set, without any tape out on him, all it takes for him to kind of push QB 20 is going to be a deep ball touchdown early and a rushing touchdown. Polk, Tyquan Thornton. There's players where you can get caught early with your pants down on a player like Drake May. Now, it could be ugly, but I mean, after QB, I mean, it is starts at QB 20 for me in my rankings. It's ugly. It's just
who's 20 for you? Because I can say 19. I could debate it. Geno's 19 for me. After that, you got Fields, Rodgers, Lawrence, Herbert, Dalton. Like I could hear an argument, right? Who's your threshold guy?
So my threshold right now is Bo Nix and Drake May. It's 19-20. And I feel okay about Nix. I feel not good about May. And then after that, it's Lawrence, Herbert, Rattler, Levis, Dalton, Rogers, Watson, O'Connell. I don't feel good about any of those.
Oh, shit. So I got Rattler considerably more high. Okay.
Yeah, I have never been a high on Rattler guy. I don't believe he has the skill set to walk into a game and just immediately begin. I just don't think he's that good. We'll see what happens this week. So I have him ranked pretty low, but we'll get into that game in a second. As far as the Texans-Patriots game, if Brissett was starting, I do think we see the first double-digit home dog. That I think the Drake May thing.
So you think May's buying them a couple of points?
I think. I mean, the over/under's gone up 3 points since the announcement on DraftKings. That's a sizable shift, and I think that's enough to be 3.5 points swing in terms of going against the Patriots. If that makes sense. If the over/under was 38, still, I don't think it would be 3.5. Is what I'm saying. I think it'd be 9.5. So I think we'd be pushing that 10-point dog, betting, seeing how money comes in late in the week. But yeah, it's not going to be nice for the Patriots. I'm hoping for something. I'm kind of approaching the rest of the season in Drake May as a Patriots fan, kind of like I do as a golfer. I was told this when I first started golfing. You play golf, and if you can walk away with one good shot, it'll keep you coming back. Then it's one good hole, and then eventually a good round, and then eventually you can play good golf. That's kind of the progression you're looking for. That's kind of what I'm looking at for May. I just want one shot. It's a nice chip, nice little drive on the fairway, little bomb around a corner. I just need one. I just need to see a shot to get me encouraged to keep coming back for this outcome. So we'll see what happens in week 6. Let's talk about, Spencer Rattler. We're going to talk about the first divisional game on this Sunday's slate. Tampa Bay Buccaneers take their 3-2 record to Nylens to go play the 2-3 New Orleans Saints. Only a 2-point difference. The Saints with Spencer Rattler at quarterback, it's been officially announced, it's only a 2-point dog. We'll start with Rattler. Okay, you're a little bit higher on Rattler. You admit it. Is he a streaming option for you? And then go ahead and talk about this game.
I do think he's a streaming option. This year, Tampa's 1-1 against rookies. The outside, it was funny. We just got done talking about the Commanders, and Tampa in week 1 was like my favorite bet. Maybe so far of the year was taking Tampa in week 1 against Jaden Daniels, even though I love Jaden because it's the rookie. And then we went back to the well against the Broncos in week 3, and Bo Nix was like, hold my, and now it's Rattler. So you can tell the talent is kind of going like this, right? And they beat Jaden, lost to Bo, and now they get Rattler. And as far as the schedule goes, rest of season, I don't see any rookie quarterbacks on the rest of the schedule unless we get a Michael Penix in week 8. But I think we're going to get Rattler here. I'm very middling on the whole thing. And I think for similar reasons that you like Drake May a little more than I do. You have him up to quarterback 20 in a week where there's, I think there's 4 byes this week. Mm-hmm. So that's, 20 out of 28. Chiefs, Dolphins, Rams, Vikings. I have Rattler up to quarterback 15, which is ahead of Bo, ahead of Baker, ahead of Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Justin Fields, because I think that Rattler in this offense can play within himself. He can play Mr. Dump-Off to Kamara. He can play hand the ball off to hopefully Kendre and Kamara, and he can play, which is, I guess, what is baked in a little bit here is first off, he's got top 10 schedule, top 10 game. It's a Tampa. Jesus Lord, I am struggling today with some of these verbiage. It's a top 10 game as far as the defense is against Tampa. He said in a press conference this week that he said when Chris Olave is on the field, I know I can just find him, and I know when he's on the field, I got to target him. And so I think Chris Olave in this game, whether it's good or bad, Tampa doesn't have an elite cornerback. As far as this game is if Rashid Shaheed's playing, Mason Tipton, if he's not, I think he's going to be a long shot play. I mean, we saw them focus on Mason Tipton a couple times in that first drive against Kansas City on Monday night. He's the rookie out of Yale. So I don't love either one of those, but the Chris Olave thing, I think he's peppered. I think Kamara, I think those are better talents than what Drake May is playing with up there in New England. And I think it's a little bit of an easier defense to play against in Tampa than it is for Drake against Houston this week, as far as the matchup goes. So that's why I'm higher on Rattler. Again, I don't like love it. Interesting stat when you do look at what Todd Bowles has done as a coach and as a coordinator. In the 2010s, the Bucs, for a 7-year period, were 1-11 against rookie quarterbacks, which doesn't make much. Usually teams are better against rookie quarterbacks, right? So for those for the 2010s decade, they were 1-11 against rookie quarterbacks. Since Bowles arrived as either the DC or the head coach in his double stint here, they've improved to an 11-6 record against rookie quarterbacks. So he's considerably better than what this team used to be. Again, that's since 2019. That's also counting years with Tom Brady, of course. So that's right. A little bit of assistance into that grade there. But Bowles is a known defensive kind of savant, I guess you'd say, as far as his defensive coordinator play calling and stuff. So I lean towards that direction. As far as the rankings go, outside of that, Kamara, what, running back 9. Rashad White, I still have him as a top 20 play. Put him at running back 19. And Olave, I put, like I said, I want to bump Olave a little bit higher. But I would like to see our target share kind of rise up. He's only averaging 5.6 targets per game. I have him right now as wide receiver 9. Is that too low?
Wide receiver 9?
Yeah.
I have him at wide receiver 30.
Oh, shit.
He's not getting targets.
Oh, shit.
Now, things could change with Rattler. But for me, if I'm down on Rattler, I'm going to be down on Olave. Now, things can change after this week, and my rankings next week might reflect that. But yeah, that was actually that was the only person I want to talk about with you in this matchup was Olave. Because as far as Godwin goes, Baker goes, Kamara goes, as far as everyone that you have been starting, you're starting it. I don't have any big takeaways in terms of those players. But yeah, Olave was who I wanted to bring up. You have met wide receiver 9. So you're expecting double-digit targets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting, I don't think, quite Garrett Wilson 22. But, dude, you know what I'm doing? I'm pulling up Prize Picks right now. They don't have a line. All they have is a touchdown line on him. Dude, I wish there was something out here to give us a little bit of a – I don't know, man. I'm buying the – when I hear Rattler tell me he's targeting this guy, I'm just going to believe it. I know he hasn't been targeted, and Shaheed's been that guy, but I just don't get it. I don't see it. He had 10 targets 2 weeks ago. 30. Wow. Like I said before, like as far as the guys that are in my top 20 with less than 8 targets per game, it's Reed, Olave, I guess now Tank. I bumped Tank up a little bit, and then Marvin Harrison.
For me, it comes down to this. I've been wrong about the Saints all year, so maybe I'm wrong again in week 6. I don't think they're going to run enough plays for Olave to see 10 targets. I think he can have a good target share with 6 or 7. But with Rattler throwing the ball, that's 3 or 4 catches. And unless there's a big play downfield, 4 catches for 48 yards just seems like where I'm settling at. What I kind of think is the median projection for a guy like Olave at this stage of this offense and of this player's season. But again, I have also been wrong about everything when it comes to the Saints from jump.
Where do you have Kamara?
I have Kamara at running back 5. I think that guy could see 10 targets. I think Kamara could get 10 targets, and it won't be pretty. It'll be for, you know, a famous Alvin Kamara, 10 catches or 8 catches for 41 yards, but you'll take that 11.1 fantasy points plus a touchdown plus his rushing total. I believe in that. I just don't believe that this offense is going to be good. I am just not a Rattler guy. Never been a Rattler talent. I think a lot of Rattler's hype has come from his off the field notoriety from the Netflix show and how well he's carried himself throughout the process because everyone thinks he's a knucklehead, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about any of that. I watched this guy on tape. I've seen an under-deliverer since the Oklahoma Sooner days. That's what I've seen. I think this is what we see again this week. I think this is a train wreck.
So game. can we let's do a bet here then. You're coming to Charleston.
Yeah.
We're going to be watching Sunday Ticket together.
Yeah.
These two games are going to be on TV at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's do a friendly here.
Deal.
Drake May versus Spencer Rattler.
Fantasy points. 6 point per passing game fantasy points.
Yep.
Yep. I'll take that.
What are we doing?
We'll the vibes tell us. We'll be together. The vibes will be high. We'll make it maybe like a shot of bad shot of tequila.
I was going to say like a Sunday night football drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a chug, like if they have like a boot chug, if we're at a place or, you know, we'll let the vibes tell us, but it'll be something fun. We'll make sure we record it.
Didn't the last place we go had a booty chug?
Yes. Yes, it did. So there'll be something. The booty chug was in New Orleans. And we've all seen the clip of me dancing in the middle of New Orleans streets. So will that happen in Charleston? I can almost guarantee it. But anyway, we'll be posted for that. So check it out. You know it now. We have a bet. Drake May versus Spencer Rattler fantasy points. And we'll see what the vibes take us.
At Maddie Kewam on Twitter.
Yes, sir. That's where we'll be posted. The loser will post their punishment there. Cleveland Browns, 1-4 Cleveland Browns. Kind of surprising. Head to the link to take on the 2-2 Philadelphia Eagles coming off of a bye. The Browns are nearly a touchdown underdogs on the road. Coming out of the bye, we're expecting both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown back. So talk to me about the wide receivers on the Eagles. What does that mean for Jalen Hurts? And then cap it off of how you have Dallas Goedert ranked. And then we'll quickly shift through Amari Cooper and whoever else on the Browns.
Yeah, well, Goddard, first and foremost, like was kind of in a similar boat as Marv, except for I'm going, well, these two guys are back, and now does he regress back down to the Dallas Goedert that we're used to when there's healthy wide receivers in this room? And my answer to that is, yeah, probably. And what that means is that target share goes from 30% to 15%. That's what it is. It cuts it directly in half. He goes from a tight end 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 option to a tight end 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 option. So I plugged him in a touch higher than that, tight end 12. I'm assuming there's a little, leftover granular salt that's going to sprinkle into his chest and he maybe catch something. So I'm actually going to make a live adjustment and bump him up one spot ahead of old Evan Engram, assuming he's back this week, which he should be for Jacksonville.
Yep, seems like it.
So I'll take Goddard here at 11, kind of exactly where I think he fits and deserves to be. As far as these receivers go, A.J. Brown comes for me at wide receiver 13. I like the corners. I like the defense in Cleveland. I hate Cleveland, period. Devonta Smith, wide receiver 22. Probably a worse matchup against a guy like Denzel Ward if they get him on him. So I think I just like A.J. in totality. I mean, he's been the alpha in this whole situation as the season has been. Averaging 22 fantasy points per game. Devonta Smith, 16 fantasy points per game. They're both averaging right on that 10 to 9.5 target range. So I think this lifts the Philadelphia Eagles up a little bit. This number is 9 in Philly. This number, as weird as it sounds, feels a little big. Like Cleveland sucks, but this number feels a little big because, Maddie, this game for me, because Cleveland has heard the noise, and they've 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 heard the noise. And what happens in the third quarter, Maddie, when this game is 27-3? Eagles are downshifting. It's 27-3. There's 6 minutes left in the third quarter. Deshaun Watson just threw a pick. Eagles are downshifting. Get Kenny Gainwell in here. Let's run this football. Jameis Winston comes out, wham, wham, wham. All of a sudden, 27-24, game ends, 3-point game. You're like, how'd that happen? They didn't win. They were never going to win. But all of a sudden, J-Mo brings them back, and they covered. 9 just feels way too big for this one. So
9 does feel big.
For the quarterbacks this week, I put Jameis Winston, quarterback 26, Deshaun Watson, quarterback 27.
I love it. It has to happen eventually. It has to happen eventually. He's just, it is so bad. It sucks right now because I think it pulls Cooper outside of my top 20. I'm at 21. I love the volume, but it's just so inconsistent. And when you watch the games, it's throw high here, throw two out there. It's just, he's routinely getting Amari Cooper frustrated with how bad he's getting him the rock. Where do you have, I want to ask you one last thing about the Browns, because I pretty much lockstep with you according to the Eagles ranking. So I don't have much to add, but let me ask you this. Jerome Ford, where do you have him ranked this week? And what are your thoughts on Nick Chubb just real quick?
Well, I have more faith in Chubb than I do Jonathan Brooks in Carolina or Audric Estime in Denver.
Me too.
We'll just put it that way. That's kind of my baseline thoughts there. As far as Jerome Ford goes, I'm not content with the touches. He's getting targeted. I'm just not content with the touches right now, to be honest with you. As far as touches go across the league and the targets, he's actually fourth right now in targets among the running backs. Mm-hmm. Breece Hall,
right there.
Kamara, 5.6, Kenneth Walker, 5.3, and Jerome Ford, 4.6. So technically he's getting out of the backfield, getting that work, but he's only averaging 11.9 fantasy points per game, which is, you know, side by side the next guy in line with 4.4 targets per game, Travis Etienne. Everything he's got is identical to what Travis Etienne's doing. So
yeah.
It's underwhelming. So I probably, you know, what that probably tells me is I'm probably, you know, like I already told you, I'm bullish on ETN. I'm going to go down on the sword. Ford, on the other hand, I'm just going to let him be where he's got to be, which is running back 31.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I love the targets for Ford. This is a game where they probably will come from behind. So I do like him as a top 24 play based on the targets he'll probably see late. He has been a top 50 player in warp. So he's been pretty valuable, but it just feels like to me that I don't care about the age. I don't care about the injuries. I just think Kevin Stefanski dials up better offenses with Nick Chubb. And I think that's going to be the case again. I don't think Nick Chubb's going to be a zero. I don't think he's going to be the Nick Chubb of old. But can he be James Conner for this team? Yeah. Yeah, I do. So I'm a little bit bullish. More and more bullish on Nick Chubb, just as I've seen how incompetent this offense is since he's been gone, essentially. So that gives me a little bit of extra juice. This next game, we'll kind of make it quick. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Another divisional battle, the Indianapolis Colts, their second divisional battle in a row, take their 2-3 record to Tennessee to take on the Titans, who are 1-3 coming off a bye. The Colts getting 2.5 feels like a number I probably will put some shillings on. Over under of 43 is yuck. Not excited about anyone in this game other than Tony Pollard. Seems like Jonathan Taylor will miss again. Any thoughts on this game before we move on to the next one?
90% of the bets on the Colts, 90% of the money. I'm as close to getting out of the Levis thing as I've ever been, unfortunately.
This is coming off a bye against this secondary. He's got to do it now.
If this game isn't, you know, if Tony Pollard isn't north of 100 yards here, if Levis isn't north of 70% completion percentage, if this team doesn't score at least 24, 26, 28 points, I mean, I need a clean game, no picks. I just want to see competency. This team's this close, Maddie. And we brought this up before the show, talking about Christian Kirk, T. Higgins, these potential names that could become open in trade conversations. I don't know who trades for Calvin Ridley, but
no, that contract.
I don't think anybody does. But this team is a loss to the Colts away from staring themselves in the eyes of a top five pick, which means the end of Will Levis.
Yeah, we said this even at last year's draft. To be honest, if they end up in the top 10, he's donezo. Because he didn't get the job done. And I think if he lays an egg this game, Mason Rudolph is the Titans quarterback starting in week 7. That's how tightrope Will Levis is on right now. That's how bad it's been, how disappointing it's been. So I do agree that the days of Will Levis hopefully are not over, but damn shit, it is getting close. Let's move on out to the West Coast, the AFC West matchup. The Los Angeles Chargers head to Mile High Stadium to take on the Denver Broncos. Over under of 37.5. Again, we talked about it on the hurdle. Big Ten football, baby. The AFC West is Big Ten country now. They play almost identical. What are your thoughts here? What are you excited about? Because fantasy-wise, ain't much to talk about. Ain't much.
Do you think Javonte Williams is getting back to Javonte Williams, or do you think Javonte Williams is becoming a massive sell-high candidate? These two things can exist together.
I think he's a buy candidate. I think that this is now a winning formula. Using him like this is a winning formula. Can he get hurt? Sure. But that's good for Estime. But I no longer think that Estime will push him aside in 2024.
Well, I mean, the usage hasn't even been history. It's going like this, but it's not even, I mean, if it gets to the Jordan Mason level or the Kyron Williams level, yeah, I think that's too much. But he ain't even averaging 20 opportunities a game right now.
Right.
You know, like,
right. That's why I think you could buy in. I don't think that the price, the value, the expectation of him has gone up to the point where he's outpriced. I think you could get him now for a bench wide receiver type of deal in season. I think you can get him, and he should be had for a round two in Dynasty. He's a guy that has been now productive, 30 points over the last 2 weeks. The opportunities aren't there, but I think that as this team gets better, it will increase. And I don't see, like, again, I don't see Estime pushing him aside without an injury this year, where I definitely thought that earlier in the season was a possibility. So for me, I don't think he's a sell high because I just don't think the perception is there to move him and get anything that's better than what he's providing on the field as a low level kind of RB2 type player. Like, I'm running back 18. That's probably where he's just going to be week in, week out, right around 15 to 20.
And he's got the Panthers on the docket in a few weeks. And New Orleans is a top, New Orleans is a middling matchup, but Dobbins or Javonte this week?
I got Dobbins a handful of spots higher, but I'm lower on him than consensus. I'm at 15.
Okay, I have him 16, 17. I got Dobbins one spot higher.
Yeah, so we're in like the same range here in terms of where we go. Now, Dobbins is going to fall as long as Brian Robinson comes off it healthier. Then, you know, if he's just like a, if he doesn't carry the questionable tag in a Sunday, Brian Robinson's going to jump up inside my top 15 with ease. James Cook might come down. That's neither here nor there. But I guess what I'm saying is we're pretty locked up at these running backs.
I'm not touching anything else in this game. Receiver, miss me with it. Tight end, miss me with it. Quarterback, I'm good. So one more question, running back for you. I've seen Gus Edwards cut in a lot of leagues. He's available in a lot of leagues. Not that he was owned a lot to begin with. But it's pretty clear that it's 1-2. It's Dobbins. It's Gus. They're coming off a bye. People probably have gotten to the point where they're forgetting that Gus exists. I'm not going to say anything negative about the number one running back in Los Angeles right now. But should people be holding the number two running back in Los Angeles the same way they're holding Jalen Wright, Blake Corum, Ty Chandler? Should he be on your roster right now?
100% I do agree with that. If he's been dropped and you're carrying a Ty Johnson, if you're carrying a Cordarrelle Patterson, and it's getting borderline in seasonal, this is not that. If Eric Gray's rostered, Gus Edwards should be rostered. And if I have, this might be the boldest I'll get in seasonal formats, it's a toss up between Trey Benson and Garrett Edwards at this point. Gus Edwards,
yeah. I think I take Gus.
Yeah, the pathway's there. He's just not going to, as long as Dobbins is healthy, it's just not going to happen for him. But, and it can happen for Trey Benson as long as James Conner's healthy. It's just, he's in that bucket. So if handcuffs are valued in your league, depending on your size and scope, then Gus Edwards needs to also be valued.
All right, cook it.
All right, next matchup, again, another 1920s-esque matchup. The Pittsburgh Steelers head out to Vegas to take on the Las Vegas Raiders, 3-2 versus 2-3. It's a 3-point game between the two of them, the Raiders being the underdog. 36.5-point over-under suggests, well, it doesn't suggest much for fantasy purposes. Take it wherever you want to go, Cody. The floor is yours here in this matchup.
Well, I believe this was an AFC championship. I don't even know how many times back in the early days of the world. And maybe an AFL championship, maybe. But this year, I'll tell you what, it's not. It's not that. It's not going to be an AFC championship. You're getting 3 points if you're the Raiders at home. Again, doesn't feel like it's enough. No Devontae. Max Crosby's going to play in this one. I think what this number is driven around is the quarterback play in Pittsburgh. Nick Erbig, Alex Highsmith have been down, which nukes a little bit of TJ Watt by being by himself, as people can see with Max Crosby. When there's no counterpart that's elite, it kind of takes a little bit of deflation out of that guy. 75% of the money still on the Steelers in this one. 92% money line money on the Steelers in this one. This is a late kick. I probably won't be watching this one. We probably won't be watching this one. I would assume the one that we're probably going to be watching is one we're going to talk about here in a minute. Mm-hmm. But as far as talent in this game, everything at running back, fuck off. Quarterback, fuck off. Receiver, I guess I'll play Pickens, but fuck off.
Where do you have Pickens?
Like, gosh, where the hell did he go?
Because I'm at wide receiver. Where?
16.
I got him at 28. I'm not too high on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good matchup, but it's like I saw somebody with a great one of those like circles of life cycles. And it was like bitch and complain, get paid, diva, 120-yard game or something like this, right? And it
was like the cycle
of Pickens, the cycle of the diva receiver. And it was pretty fantastic. And the next one in line is the 120-yard game. So maybe we're going to get it. I really doubt it, though. But no, I think the only thing that I believe and trust in consistency here is, again, if you paid up for the Brock Bowers experiment, I mean, that's my number one tight end this week. As bad as the quarterback play is in Vegas, this has been like the one constant. The guy is top 20 in the league in receiving yards. You've got 313 to this point. The trends are fantastic for Brock Bowers. As far as the matchup goes, it's a top 10 matchup. And then his counterpart in this game for the Steelers is Pat Freiermuth, who is averaged 9.5 fantasy points per game to this point. And when you're talking about the tight end position, we talk about this every week. There's literally seven guys averaging 10 or more fantasy points per game. He and Cole Kmet, Freiermuth and Cole Kmet, are averaging 9.5 and 9.7. They're right outside that, and they're two of the better values. Like, this is why in drafts this year, I was going, I'm not drafting much early. If I did, I was taking Kincaid, but I rarely did it. Kincaid has been kind of a flop to this point. But my general consensus plan was Freiermuth, Ertz. And I've used Ertz once or twice, but in sparing spots because I've had Freiermuth. And Freiermuth just gives you 4 for 40, and you might get a touchdown. And that's good enough.
That's good enough. Yeah.
I'll take it. And I'll take my 4 for 40. You can fucking have your Noah Fant 1 for 20 or your goddamn Pitts egg. Like, give me Freiermuth, dude. It's just, I know what I got.
Yep. I got Brock Bowers at 1, Freiermuth at 9. Top 10 options. Fire him up. Let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Carolina Panthers, 3-2 versus 1-3. The Panthers are 6-point home dogs. Over under 47 is encouraging for fantasy purposes. Is there anything specific you want to talk about here, or is it just fire up the usual suspects?
I think we're firing up the usual suspects. This is the Bijan game. I think we kind of had this expectation that the Bijan game was going to be potentially last week against Tampa on Thursday Night Football. I feel really good about this one being the Bijan. I don't want to say breakout because we've already seen the guy. We already know what the guy is. But as far as like the 100-yard game.
That's Bijan. Bijan.
That's him, right? I mean, let's be honest. Has Bijan been what Bijan was supposed to be as a prospect coming out?
No, not at all. I mean, last year I would think people were probably disappointed relative to expectations. And this year, he's the 40th ranked player in WARP. He's running back 19 as a wins over replacement player. It has not been good.
We need the breakout. Like, he had one game last year with more than 20 carries. It came at Arizona in week 10. He had four rushing touchdowns. He did have a couple receiving, and receiving is his chops. He's good at it, but he hasn't been elite at it. He hasn't been, Kamara in the receiving game as much as I think he's good and has potential to continue to get better. We need, oh my gosh, just I don't know what that was. We need that Bijan Robinson, 22 carry, 157, two rushing touchdowns. That's now. You've been in the league for 22 games. Now is the time. Now is the Bijan game. Now or never. Now or never. Maddie, this guy's had two 100-yard rushing games in 22. I don't want to say he's a bust because he's not a bust. But as far as the expectation and as far as being a 8th overall pick in the NFL draft.
He's bust adjacent. He's bust adjacent.
I ain't saying. I'm just saying.
Bijan Robinson, hashtag bust adjacent. All right, let's talk about it. The best game on the 4 o'clock slate, hands down, the Detroit Motor City Kitties in that 3-1 record head to Jerry's World to take on the 3-2 Dallas Cowboys. The Lions are 3-point favorites on the road, so a pretty close game, over under 50 to inject it into my veins. You talk about a big game for Bijan Robinson. I think this is the game for CD Lamb to come and go berserk. Last week, or I should say last season, week 17, CeeDee Lamb against the Lions, 13 catches, 227 receiving yards, 90 over expected. He was an absolute monster against them in week 17 of last year. It's going to be another big one for CeeDee Lamb. I like everyone in this game. The only position I am not interested in is the Cowboys running back situation. I have Dowdle at 30, Zeke below that, so I'm not excited there. But everywhere else, I'm pretty excited. Where I'm going to ask you to start in your analysis is Sam Laporta. Expectation consensus has him fading down towards, you know, down to the bottom of the top 10 this week. Where do you have Laporta? And then talk about wherever you want to talk about, whatever player you want to talk about in this bonanza matchup.
Got him at tight end 9. So near that bottom, right? He's averaging 6.6 fantasy points per game, only 3.5 targets per game. We haven't had the game. If it was going to happen, it feels like it could be a game of this magnitude where Laporta does get that gas. I got Jake Ferguson in this exact same game, a couple spots higher at tight end 5. We are vastly due as far as Sam Laporta. Speaking about Bijan being due, we're vastly due in the Sam Laporta department. I agree with you on CeeDee Lamb. I got him and Amon-Ra back-to-back, 3-4. We talked about, I mentioned that earlier when we brought up Marvin Harrison. Jameson, I think, is a top 24 play as well. He always poses that big play upset, especially against a defensive backfield like Dallas that is very prone to biting. Those double moves from Jameson will be something that I think Goff is going to try and press into a lot this week. Mm-hmm. If I get any questions on my start sit show on Saturday or on Sunday morning about Dak or about Jared Goff, this is what I'm going to do. I answer every question on my start sit show on Roster Watch, and I'm just going to scroll, and it's going to go, "Would you start Jared Goff or Daniel Jones?" And I'm gonna go, "Fuck off." Keep scrolling. Jared Goff, fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pop it up on the screen and go, "Fuck off." I'm just gonna keep scrolling. That's what I'm gonna do, because Dak and Goff are, in this game, we talk about it. If you got them, shoot them. We got the guns. This is the game.
I know this is the game.
Brandon Cooks. Cool. Congratulations. You still got a lot of talent, and the Dallas team has been underwhelming, but we know they can score points. Shoot them. This is a 38-35. This is the Bengal Raven game from last week. I know we got the Bengal Commander game this week. We're due for some points. The point scoring regression in the positive direction has been due through the first 4 weeks of the season. We got a little bit last week with a handful of people scoring 36, 34, 36, 34, 34, 41. We're getting it again this week, and this is going to be the game that doesn't lead the way, but it caps off a phenomenal afternoon, noon and afternoon slate of games. Where else was that? Running back. You brought up running back for Dallas. I think I'm the same way with you. Rico's my highest ranked Dallas back. He's a running back 30. Zeke, yeah. You can ask me every question in the world you want about Zeke or Trey Benson. I'll still play Trey Benson. Don't care. I ain't getting touches. I'll still play Trey Benson.
Right.
Zeke or Jeremy McNichols, guess what? I might get a touchdown in the receiving game. Don't care. Give me Jeremy McNichols. Zeke or Khalil Herbert, who's not even playing. Khalil Herbert, don't care.
I agree. It's
tough negative. At least they won't go negative, Maddie.
Yeah. One name that you haven't really mentioned, I need to bring him up. Jalen Tolbert. What do you got him ranked?
Man, isn't this fun? This Tolbert thing?
It's fun. I believe in it, too.
Jalen Tolbert, South Alabama's finest wide receiver, 23.
That feels right. I am at 36, and I thought I was high on him.
Jalen Tolbert against Detroit or
George Pickens seems close. I have him about 10 spots difference. But man, if I had Pickens on my roster and I had Tolbert and I was deciding between my last flex, wouldn't take long to talk me into Jalen Tolbert. So here are your rankings. I think we're in the same boat.
This I was going to say, I think that's a – Pickens is a good one. Tolbert's fucking good.
Yeah, and this role, when this offense is going, the Dallas Cowboys offense, and it's transcended through the different play callers on that offense, there's always that secondary receiver that does well. First, it was CeeDee Lamb when Amari was here. Then it was Michael Gallup, or it was Michael Gallup. Then it was CeeDee Lamb. Then it was Michael Gallup again. Then it was Brandon Cooks, and now it's Jalen Tolbert. You're right. He is the best. And listen, you want to talk about process plays? Chase, this game is a process play. If it's a total bust, whatever. Trust the process. This is a process play, and anyone that's in this game is going to get a value bump. No two ways about it. Both of these primetime games, I think we can kind of just lump them together. Okay, we're an hour and 10 minutes in. I think it's time to just lump these two together because it's really not anything exciting. I got to be honest. But on Sunday night, we're going to get the Cincinnati Bengals heading to New York to take on the Giants. And then on Monday Night Football, back-to-back Meadowland matchups, the Buffalo Bills travel to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Jets. Jets, Giants, Bengals, Bills. Is there anything really stand out here? Or are you just kind of going into this week as expected? You're firing up the good players and not worried about the French players. But anywhere you want to take it for these two primetime games, the floor is yours, my friend.
I was going to ask you, like, it's kind of a wild thing. It's kind of a wild thing to see Sunday night and Monday night at MetLife, whatever the fuck they call it now. I'll be interested to see how fast they can turn the field. I'll be interested to see the different camera angles. I'll be looking at these goofy shits, like the different camera angles from Sunday Night Football to Monday Night Football, because we never see the same stadium, right? Back to
two nights in a row. Yeah.
So it's like we're going to get to see the NBC crew and then the ESPN crew that both are, you know, in the stadium, working through the stadium, doing all these things back-to-back nights. I'll be very interested to see the dynamic of these two different games. The Bengals are in the troves of life right now. Hopefully we get Malik Nabers back. This could be, I haven't seen the practice report yet this from Wednesday. I definitely don't think we have one from Thursday yet, but the practice report for the Giants pertaining to Mr. Concussion Malik Nabers, who I have as a top three player this week, mm-hmm. did not practice on Wednesday. I'm still going to hold pat with him there at wide receiver two. If you have him, you have to play him. But again, like it's Sunday Night Football. And if I don't know, I guess if he doesn't, what's the rule here? If he practices on Friday, I think then you're sitting good. If it's a Saturday deal, if he does not practice on Friday with the concussion, then I think we're probably get some clarification on Sunday morning as far as that concussion goes for start sit situations. In that situation, Darius Slayton gets that mega bump. I think you trust the process with Darius Slayton. They went to him. Cam Taylor Britt's kind of a better corner than what he faced last week, but nonetheless, I think it'll be a good game in all facets. I think the Giants get waxed here.
Yeah.
But are you doubling down this Tyrone Tracy? Are you doubling down? I love Tyrone Tracy, but I just don't know. I don't like this team at all.
I'm not doubling down on Tracy because of one reason. It's the thing that a lot of fantasy gamers can never comprehend, but it happens all the time. And it's the coach's mindset on a player. So I'm buying in on Tracy. I think he's good. I think in this team, or if he had the same role, I'll buy back in. But once Singletary's back healthy, he's going to get the role. Dayball loves him. They just trust him in a way that's going to annoy us. So Tyrone Tracy, as long as Singletary around, is not going to be a thing at the level I think it could be. But yeah, I'll go back to it. If Singletary's out, give me Tracy as a, you know, borderline top 20 type guy. Yeah. And I will say this about Nabers. I have met wide receiver two. He's certainly worth the gamble because the opportunity cost to have a backup and insurance plan is so low right now. Slayton, you can get him. Yosi Vash, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Mike Williams, Alan Lazard, Curtis Samuel, in seasonal leagues, Keon Coleman. There's just so many options to have in the tank to risk the Malik Nabers. And I will say this about Nabers and concussions. They're the injury that you can go no practice, no practice, full practice. He's ready to rock in a blink of an eye. Because right now in this moment, he's probably feeling like he's back to health. It's probably just, you know, the recoveries of a concussion, but it could go no practice today, no practice tomorrow, full practice Saturday, ready to rock and roll. And it's like, okay, I'm playing him as wide receiver two. So for that reason, I'm okay playing the game of fantasy chicken. Hell, you could probably even try to get Wandale Robinson at a point. He might be available in shallow 10-team leagues. So there's plenty of options to play with the insurance game. So that's how I go there. The last question is this. Josh Allen, two Super Saiyan weeks, three bad weeks, not just weeks, straight bad. Where do you have him ranked? What are your expectations this week?
I'm be honest with you. I don't know what you just said as far as who the player was.
Josh Allen.
I moved him down. I moved him down quite a bit to quarterback 11. I don't think the Jets defense was the problem. I think the Jets offense has been the problem all along, right? And they get rid of Salah, and I don't know what that does to the overall Jets team. I think overall Jets team, I think it benefits them. But as far as the defense, like it's, I think he's been the one play calling the plays on defense. I don't know. I don't know if that's been Albrecht or not. And if Albrecht has, then he's now the head coach. So I don't know what that does. But as far as what the Jets have done on defense in controlling opposing quarterbacks, they've done well. The Patriots scored three. The Broncos lost to the Broncos. They give up 10 points. The Vikings, they got a pick from Sam Darnold that makes Sam Darnold look. They played Sam Darnold better than any other team has played Sam Darnold this year. So I think this is a good game, but I think that it's going to be run dependent for a Josh Allen to kind of hit that threshold, which is his life, right? His life is if he's not running for 30, 40 yards, if he doesn't score a rushing touchdown, he probably doesn't get there. But on a weekly basis, he gets there because of that. I'm just not sure what that looks like this week against the Jets. For that reason, I'm lower on him. I have him down at quarterback 11, which is considerably low. But even the guy like that's back-to-back with him, Kirk Cousins, number two matchup on the week against Carolina. If not Bijan, when this guy just came off a 500-yard passing game. Like he's targeting Mooney, he's targeting Pitts, he's targeting Drake London. Like, can I convince you to start Kirk Cousins over Josh Allen?
I have Allen at QB6, but I think your ranking is what I feel. I think I'm just too scared to drop him that low. But I feel that.
I'm nervous. I'm trying to get you to convince me to move him up, but I don't know if I can.
No, I only have him at six because I'm scared. But he's at six because if this makes sense, to have a guy like Josh Allen outside of your top 10, anywhere from QB5 to 10 is how you feel about him because that's how good he is. And doubting him ends up being the final factor with Josh Allen. And I just don't have the courage. But the guys behind him, Kyler Murray, CJ Stroud, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, all of those guys could be better than him. So I think your rankings is how I feel about him. I was just too scared. And to answer your question, I have Kirk Cousins at 12. So if I had the balls to put him at 11 like you do, it'd be back-to-back in my ranking. So yes, there is a world where you could convince me that you should play Cousins over Allen. I also do believe that next week on the Hurdle, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the South Harmon YouTube channel, we're going to be talking about how bad of a condition Metland was second night. I think we're going to look at a very sloppy game on Monday Night Football, and the conversation will be, why were they so stupid to play back-to-back days on this field? NFL football games on this field, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers bitching and complaining about the surface. I think Monday night is going to be a gross game. I think it's going to be a bad fantasy game. I don't think it's going to be – I think it's going to be a sloppy, sloppy game. But that's it. That's the week six slate. By the time you're listening to this, just know I am with Mr. Cody Carpentier. We are very excited for the week six slate, as you should be as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to the walkthrough week six. He's Cody Carpentier. I'm Maddie Kewoom. We are talking on the South Harmon Podcast Network of Shows. Check us out next week. Peace. Through.